Well, it's good to see everybody here this morning. I guess I didn't keep you too long last time because they asked me if I would fill in again. I'm glad to be here. And like every week, I really had to think and pray about what it was I wanted to speak about today. And I contemplated, I thought, well, maybe I'll just pick a book of the Bible, you know, but then I thought, well, if I start on one of the books of the Bible, Dawn's going to tell me, well, that's great. There's 20 more chapters to do with that one. You could just keep doing it until you're done. And then it dawned on me, like, I'm going to do Philemon. So I was talking to Carla about what I wanted to do. And she says, well, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up. I said, yeah. But there's another week before Thanksgiving Sunday still. And since we've been having people come in and fill, I thought, well, maybe the whoever's doing next week is going to do Thanksgiving. And then I thought, well, you know, being thankful is one of those topics that can deserve more than one week. So I guess if the next person wants to do something on being thankful, then that's all right too. Our passage today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. You can stay seated. It's just a short verse. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in you and Christ Jesus. I'd like to say a little prayer here before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to speak again, Lord. I pray that the words that I have would be the words that you want me to speak. I pray that the people here, that their ears would be opened, that their minds and hearts would be as well. I pray that you would use me as your mouthpiece, Lord, to spread your word. I pray that you would strengthen me and allow me to speak with courage and boldness your words. And ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's kind of a tough one for me. I want to make a confession before we start. I may be one of the least qualified people to speak to you about being thankful. And I wish Pastor Bob Romick was here to do this, because he was one of the most joyful and thankful men I've ever met. And I've never seen too many people that had the joy of the Lord in them like he did. I find that complaining and grumbling comes to my mind, and too often it comes out of my lips. Let me tell you about a few failures I had just this week. On Tuesday, I think it was, Carla's car broke down, and just basically due to time and my schedule, I had to take it down and have a mechanic do the work rather than doing it myself, which I do mostly. And when I got the estimate for the work, I pulled one of those Fred Sanfords, if you remember that. And I spent the rest of the day seething. And the only thing I could say is, how can you live with yourself charging them like that? And the question is, why was I so upset over that? See, the car broke down. It was in the driveway. It started, but it barely ran. But it was in the driveway. There was no accident. Nobody was hurt. Nothing was damaged. I did have the money to pay for it. I didn't want to. So why didn't I just praise God that he has given me skills and that most of the time I'm able to do things myself? Why didn't I just say, well, thank you, God, that most of the time I can handle this and I don't have to pay for this all the time? Because, you know, not everybody is given those talents. And God's blessed me with those. And so pretty soon I was convicted about being a very unthankful person. And next day I got up and I had a dental appointment. I went to work in the morning. I had to come home, grab a quick lunch, and was in a hurry to get back out to get my dentist appointment. And I walk out the door, and guess what I say? dump trucks and asphalt paving machines parked in front of my house. Now, for those, Dave knows my pain. We live on a dead-end road. There's no way in or out except for that road where these dump trucks and this paving machine sitting in front of it. It's probably been 10 to 15 years since anybody's ever showed up to work on that road. And the day I had to be somewhere, they decided to come pave it. That's 3,560 days, and I picked the one day that they're going to pave the road, right? And you know what the sad part is? After a few minutes, I thought, you know, I've been complaining for years about how bad this road is, and somebody finally came to fix it. I also said things like, well, no wonder my car is always broken. I'm going through ball joints. Look at the state of these roads. And boy, I pay enough taxes. Why won't they fix these? Why wasn't I happy to see those guys out there working that day? I should have went out and taken them coffee and donuts. See, all week long, God's been reminding me. He says, Jay, you're going to preach on thankfulness today this week, aren't you? And I said, oh, Lord, I'm not the one to do it. Maybe I should have stuck to Philemon instead. You know, like most of us, and most of you, and you've read the stories about the Israelites being freed from Egypt, these people saw the plagues that God had sent to Egypt. He spared them from the angel of death. He parts an ocean. They walk through. Now think about it. If you go out and you could dam up the Ohio River, you're going to have 10 feet of mud underneath there. But they walk through on dry land. And guess what? I went back and reviewed the story in Exodus. It was 30 days, 1 month from the time they went through the Red Sea to their telling Moses, why don't you just let us go back to Egypt where we can be slaves again and not starve to death? And we read that and we think, well, what horrible and grateful people they are. You know, but I commit the same sins, and I'm ashamed to admit it. I'm glad that God's chosen to reveal himself to me and save me because I'm so unworthy. You know, I relate to Paul in Romans 7:15. He said, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I hate it. I hope I'm not alone in this situation. It's not just me, and I guess I won't get asked to speak again. If I am the only one, I'll assume that's the issue. But the first part of the scripture today said, give thanks. It's implied that God is the recipient of that thanks, so we could say that it says, give thanks to God. And that seems pretty simple. If I went around and asked each one of you, what are you thankful to God for? Well, I'm sure that each and every person here could give me an answer. Health, family, Jesus, home, food, pets, friends, and the list will go on. And those are good things that God's given us. James 1:17 says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. And that one verse contains a lot of things that we should be thankful for. The first one's pretty clearly spelled out when it says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down from God our Father. God's given us many good things, and we, you know, just mentioned a few of them. Well, I don't know if you remember seeing the commercials, or maybe it was a ministry, but there's people who go over, and one of their missions is they provide wells for drinking water for these children in villages in Africa. And I remember I was watching one time, and they got one of those, you know, clamp, you know, ma and pa kettle kind of pumps out there, and they're pumping away at this, and when this really yucky brown water starts coming out of it, these people were rejoicing. The children were running around. They had their hands under it, watching this water. You see, they don't have to carry water from the river where their cattle are bathing. And, you know, there's a lot of waterborne disease from that. Well, has anybody ever thought, look at me, look how rich I am. I flush my toilet with drinking water. I water my plants with safe drinking water. I wash my car with safe drinking water, and I don't think about it, and these people are praising God for muddy water coming out of the ground. What do we do to deserve such luxury? Why were we born here? Do we do anything for it? We didn't. That's what makes it a gift. The second part of the verse says, who, being God, created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Well, knowing that He created all the lights in the heavens shows us that He is all-powerful. He has the ability to give us everything we need. If He can create the universe, He can put some food in your belly. He can put some clothes on your back. He's not limited in what He can do for you. And the last part of that verse says, He never changes or casts the shifting shadow. That means you can count on Him. He doesn't change. He does give us good gifts, and He will always give us good gifts. He has the power to give us whatever gifts He sees fit, and that will never change.
Verses 11 through 19, we read a story where Jesus healed 10 lepers. And leprosy was a feared disease of the day. It could cause sores on your body, nerve damage, and there's no cure. There was no treatment. It was highly contagious. In addition to the physical illness, it made you a cast out. You were an outcast of society. You had to cross the other side of the road and cry unclean, unclean when people would pass you. So not only was it physically debilitating, but it took away your status in society. So in this we see that Jesus healed 10 of these lepers. And everybody knows the story. One person came back to say thank you. Can anybody understand why the other ones wouldn't? Are we sometimes guilty of this? I think we often forget to thank God for answered prayers, and this may not happen all the time, but how many times do we pray for safe travels? Do we thank God every time we stop the car and get out and say, thank you, God? Even if it's going to Kroger's, thank you, God. I could have been killed in the intersection back here. You saw me here. We pray for all sorts of things when times are rough. But after those things pass and the stress levels go down, sometimes we forget about God. And we forget to go back and give thanks. You know, in our Sunday school class, we keep a prayer journal. Every week, all the people are praying for. And soon we'll be at the time of the year where we go back at the end of the last Sunday of the year, and we look at the whole year, and we look at every prayer request, and we say, how was this prayer answered? How was this prayer answered? And we spend a whole Sunday thanking God for the work that He's done. And you know how many of those we've completely forgot about? Well, maybe if somebody was, you know, some of the big ones, you know, somebody has cancer or this, that. We don't forget about that. But how many times, Danny's not here, Tracy's not here, they're ill today. Ask in a month who you prayed for. Ask what God's done for them, and you forgot about it. Sometimes we may not forget to thank Him next week if we see Him here. We'll say, it's good to see you, Brother Dan. Do we say, thank you, God, for bringing him back again? You know, many years ago, I had some people doing some work on a garage of mine, and it was just beyond the scope of what I could do. And I had a crew of guys come out. And at the end of the day, each one of those guys, and I know I'm getting old because they were all younger than me, come over and said, "Sir, thank you for providing us with work today." How many of you guys and ladies work every day and have stopped and said to your employer, "Thank you for providing me with work. Thank you for God for providing work for me." You know, I've heard it said that the things that we take for granted are the prayers of other people. Isn't that true? I get tired of going to work every day. But I know people now who are praying for jobs. Kids, how many times do you get done with one of your games, football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is? You go play with your kid, go play with other kids, even if it's just at recess. How many times do you get done at the end of the day and say, "God, thank you for giving me a healthy body. Thank you that I was able to play a game that we didn't get hurt." You know, one morning this week, my alarm goes off at 5:45 like it always does. It was dark outside. It's dark this time of year, and it was cold. It was like 15 out. And I didn't want to pull the covers off because I knew it was going to be cold out there. And I was tired. I didn't sleep all that great. And you know what the first sound I heard was? Technically second after the alarm. I heard the blower of the furnace running. And I thought, why am I grumpy? I'm getting up in a warm house, and I'm going to the job that the Lord has provided. He's given me the skills to do that is helping to pay for all this. And all my healthy kids are sleeping in their beds. What a wretched man I am to feel that way. God gives to us so generously, and we're often ungrateful. Why is that? I think it's because we feel like we deserve things. We look around, we see what others have, and we feel entitled to the same things. Greg's got a house. John's got a house. Tyler's got a house. Everybody in here that I know of has a house of some sort. Why shouldn't I? Most people I know have cars. Why shouldn't I have a car? You see, we have to understand that those people's houses, those people's cars, those people's whatever you name it, was given to them by God as well. Now, they may not recognize it. And if they're not Christians, they probably don't. But Matthew 5:45, Jesus said, "God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends the rain to the righteous and the unrighteous." You see, the people of the world, they'll take the gifts. They just don't recognize the person that gave it to them. And we do, or we should. Well, let's contrast the two verses, one from James and our main one from 1 Thessalonians. James is talking about good and perfect gifts. And 1 Thessalonians tells Paul tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. And if we forget to give thanks for good and perfect gifts, how are we supposed to give thanks to things that we would never consider good and perfect? See, Paul was in jail when he wrote the letter to the Philippians. We all read Philippians, or hope we have. It is filled with joy and thanksgiving. And here's what he counseled, he being Paul. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Jesus Christ." It's hard to be thankful for all circumstances. How many of you have said, "I'm really thankful I got laid off from work. many of you have been thankful for a failed marriage? How about a bad diagnosis? You ever thank God for the death of somebody? I'm going to share a little personal testimony with you. And I told you I failed to thank God for good stuff. And a lot of the bad stuff I failed to thank Him for too. At least at the time. Sometimes I thank Him now, but I didn't thank Him then. You see, I struggled for many years for good, steady employment. Even after an engineering degree, I spent time as a truck driver to pay the bills. I thanked God each time I got a new job, but I never thanked Him when it fell through. It was during one of these times I went to an employment agency to get a temporary job, something to last me for a few weeks. And a lady there helped process my paperwork. She drug tested me, of course. When I left there, the guy that was taking me there, who's going to be my boss for the temporary job, he slipped me a piece of paper that another lady working at that place had given him. And he said, "This is for you." And I looked at a paper. And on this piece of paper was a phone number. And above the phone number, it said, "Carla." And the rest of you can guess where that went. You see, all those failed jobs had brought me there. I'd lost my job. That was God steering me to my wife. And, you know, since then, now that's spent many years with employment struggles. Since then, since I've met Carla, even when we were dating, I've not been a day without work. God, you know, God sometimes pulls you by the shirt collar. He kind of has to kick you in the direction that He wants you to go. And we don't know it. He's also provided me with everything I have. And I was left a house that was big enough to house three more kids in addition to mine. And a second story I want to tell you isn't about me, but it's about my aunt, Betty. And Peggy knows her. She was a feisty old lady. And the first time I ever got to preach here was probably about 5 or 7 years ago. And I was back there, and I think I was getting mic'd up at that point, too. And guess who comes through the back door is my Aunt Betty. She'd called her pastor and said, "I can't be there today. My nephew's preaching at his church." And she surprised me. And when my Aunt Betty, or as Maggie called her, Miss Betty, was diagnosed with throat cancer sometime later, she had the radiation. She had the chemo. She lost her hair. Her sense of taste from the radiation in her voice at some point. She did finally pass on a couple of years ago, but I remember her coming over during this time that she was going through this. And she told me, she said, "You know, since I've been going for treatment, I have met so many people, and some of them I don't know, some of them I've knew years ago, and I got to reconnect with them." And she used to have these little prayer closets she'd give out to people. And she said, "You know, I thank God, since I've been giving treatment, I've got to witness and minister to so many people that I would have never met before or never saw again. And I got to share Christ with them. And I thank Him for it." Could we say that? Could we say thank you, God, for those kind of things? See, God was able to take that, and she recognized that no matter how terrible it was or sick she was able to give thanks for God for putting her in a way that she could minister to people. Now, the last part of my question, I said, has anybody ever been thankful for somebody passing? And I think we've all been to the point where we've seen somebody, and then we know they're at the end, My mother was that way, and a lot of you have seen that also. If we know that person's saved, we mourn when they die, but we also give thanks, do we not, for God for releasing them, for giving them salvation. It's bittersweet, but God still deserves the thanks for those situations. And we know that they're in a better place, and we can thank Him for that. Even when our circumstances are difficult, harmful, demoralizing, thankfulness can help us. We're not necessarily thankful for the circumstances, but we're thankful that God can bring something good about, and that He will. I hope by now you agree with me. We're not as nearly as thankful to God as we should be. And many people may consider being unthankful as just a bad character flaw, or, you know, maybe it's just a bad character trait of somebody for being as unthankful as they are. But is that the full scope of it? In our Sunday school, we just completed a book called Acceptable Sins, Confronting the Sins We Tolerate. In that book, the author points out that a failure to thank God for His blessing is a sin. Most people would consider it a benign sin because it doesn't seem to affect people like other sins do. However, it is an affront and an insult to our Creator and Sustainer. The greatest commandment, which was my first sermon, is love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. How can you say you follow that commandment if you habitually forget to give thanks to God for all that He's provided? And in closing, I'd like to say that while it's nice to say thank you, it's important that we don't stop there. Words are easy, talk is cheap. We need to show God by our actions that we are thankful. Many of us send out thank you cards when somebody does something nice for us. And sometimes we include a gift card or something inside. Why do we do that? Can we just say, thanks? Well, it shows that we're going a little further to prove our thankfulness. And we have a little token of appreciation in there. It shows them all the more that it's truly appreciated. It's been said you can tell what a person, or what's important to a person, by seeing where they spend their time, their talents, and their monies. If someone could track our time, would our non-working hours be spent in prayer, at studying the Bible, at church, working for God's kingdom? Or would the bulk of time being spent binge-watching Netflix? About watching your favorite sporting events on TV? Would we be more ashamed if they knew what it was we were watching? What about our talent? Is our talent spent building us up instead of God? Who do we spend more time talking about and boasting about? Do we spend more time talking about our gifts and how good we are? Do we spend more time talking about God's gifts He gives us and how good He is? What if somebody could look into your banking accounts and transactions? Would they guess we were Christians? Would they see transactions going into the church? Would they see money going into missionaries? Would they see money going into other causes that advances God's kingdom? Or would they see more money going out to entertainment? Would they see more money going out to your sports, to your hobbies? What do you care about? Where's the bulk of your funds go? And would the dates of those transactions show what you give to God come first after payday? Or is whatever you give to God the last thing you have left after you've paid all your bills and had all your fun and entertainment, would that come as the last thing that you give to God, is whatever you have left over after everything else? Friends, let us show God by our words and by our deeds that He alone is worthy of praise and thanks. We have nothing without Him. They say we come into the world with nothing and leave with nothing, but that's not really true. Psalms 139 says, God, you made me all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. God gave us our bodies that we came into the world with. And He lets us have many good gifts during our life. And when we leave this world, we have another free gift called salvation. And we have a promise of everlasting life. Let us always give thanks to God. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, for your study. Lord, I thank you for being able to self-examine, Lord, to see how short I fall. You are holy. You expect me to be holy, Lord. And I try to, but I fail. And I thank you, Lord, for sending Christ to an unworthy person like me, like us, while we were still yet sinners. Lord, we thank you for Christ, the greatest gift ever. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.